Turn to Matthew 26, and our text for today is going to be verses 20 through 25, and then verses 30 through 35. Matthew chapter 26, verses 20 through 25, and 30 through 35. And if you're able to stand without tripping, stand, and I know folks on the recording are wondering what we're talking about, but if you're able to stand, let's stand in God's presence and honor Him as we read the scriptures together. Beginning at verse 20 of Matthew 26, it says, "When it was evening, He reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, He said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray Me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to Him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?'" Verse 23. "He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with Me will betray Me. The Son of Man goes as it was written of Him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray Him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.'" Now, would you go to verse 30? "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of Me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny Me 3 times. Peter said to Him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Amen. Father, help us now as we contemplate these words that You have left for us. Help us. Our hearts lay open before You as Your word lays open before us. Meet us now. Teach us now. Then grant us the grace to order our lives according to Your will and Your word. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So our subject for today then is falling away. Falling away. I was drawn to this after the sermon last week, even though we were finishing up the series on grace. I want to bring some clarity when we talk about perseverance, but I also want to clearly give the warnings that the Bible gives. All right, and so we're going to try to make sure that we're all thinking biblically about this matter today. Perseverance, if you remember from last week, we said is a firm a persistence as you undertake something, a persistence to finish a task. You commit yourself to doing something and seeing it to the end. Okay, and it means that you count the cost, right? And I'm willing to accept the difficulty. I'm willing to bear up under whatever difficulty comes. Okay? We also saw last week that perseverance is essential in every aspect of the Christian life. That's the reason it's so clearly commanded in the Scriptures. No Christian should ever think that perseverance is optional. You don't even get that in your thinking. This whole idea about being saved and not being saved, mm-hmm. and losing your salvation, that's just unbiblical. Those that are saved will persevere, will what? Endure to the
Amen.
End.
Amen.
How can eternal life be in and out of earth?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I give to them
yeah.
what? Eternal life. If it's eternal life, that's what it is.
Amen.
You can't have it and lose it.
Amen.
We agree?
Amen.
So this is a great principle. Not for us to get lax and lazy, but for us to know
correct.
The truth.
Amen.
Right? We also saw that the Scriptures clearly warn about the dangers of falling away so that you don't get cavalier about your Christian lifestyle. Right? And not only that, the Bible gives examples of people who looked just like Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They were so good that that real Christians around them didn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at those, right? So Judas and then Demas, Demas and Hymenaeus, Philetus. We looked at those examples. Those are real people. These are real mm-hmm. people. Okay? And so don't you, what's the point of a warning?
Mm.
God says, you be sure that's not you. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be sure that's not you. And then we saw that Jesus assures the true believer. He assures you, he exhorts you, he encourages you in the fact that true believers will persevere. You will endure to the end, okay? And not only is it possible, this is plausible. It will happen, okay? So you don't live your life thinking, maybe I will, or maybe I won't. God says, don't start your Christian life that way. Right? My spirit in you is a... What is it? He comes as a guarantee. He has sealed you. How in the world can anybody take God's seal off you?
Yes.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
He said, you are in my hand and you're in the Father's hand. No one can
yes.
stop you
yes.
out of the Father. You have to be
yes.
stronger than God.
Uh-huh.
Say a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. That has no place in your thinking.
Hmm.
Right?
Amen.
And so what it says to us, you know how they talk about when these bad hurricanes and storms,
mm-hmm.
Come into these coastal areas? It says you need to what? Hunker down that whole lot. So you just need to get ready. Right? That's the reason the Bible called you a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You put on the what? The whole armor of God. It's not a game. Or the Bible calls you an athlete. The whole idea, Paul said, you've got to be ready to run to what? To win.
Uh-huh.
Run, you got to run to finish. Right? And so you get this. This is fundamental for us as believers. And then finally, we saw that the great blessing of it is I'm not in this alone, right?
Hmm.
God's sovereignty is at work in this situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Hmm.
I got responsibility. God has said,
mm-hmm.
this is what I'm going to do. I will do the what?
Impossible. Amen.
All
Amen.
You need to do is the possible.
Uh-huh.
And then what we say to God is, Amen.
Amen. Yes.
You know, I'm going to learn to trust.
Yeah.
But I've got these lessons
mm-hmm.
are not always easy.
Amen.
Right? Don't we know that?
Amen.
But the fact is that as you go through them, you learn when he says, I'll never leave you. That's what he means. You didn't see. It wasn't intuitively obvious to you that he was in the situation. But nothing is outside of his sphere of control.
Uh-huh.
He's controlling everything and everybody.
Amen.
Amen.
It's all working together for your good if you love Christ, if you are a believer. Right?
Amen.
So We're good at that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to these verses we're looking at today, this is the way we're going to think about this matter, because this is very important. We're going to look, first of all, at what I call falling away with no repentance. Okay? And then we're going to look at what I call falling away with repentance. And this is the reason I wanted to be clear about this today. I didn't want to just leave the subject matter without you fully understanding that the way the Bible addresses falling away, you shouldn't assume that everybody that does that is just lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
Because all of us are going to have experiences that are very disheartening,
mm-hmm.
as we look at ourselves and think about why, how could I possibly have done or said that? If you're a believer, you already know what I'm talking about. And so we want to embrace the full breadth and weight of the scriptures. Jesus said, you know what? Know the truth, and the truth sets you free.
Amen.
So let's begin then by looking at this falling away with no repentance. Go back to our text there, Matthew 26, and we're going to look at that first paragraph, verses 20 through 25. Now you notice in verse 21, even when God knows that a sinner won't repent, even when God knows that a pretender won't repent, he still warns them. This is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He already, Jesus didn't have any misconceptions about Judas.
Mm.
Right? He knew he wasn't going to repent. God told Moses before he went to talk to Pharaoh, I know he's not going to conceive. And when he finally does, it'll be out of duress. But I still want you to go and tell him anyway.
Yes.
Right? Mercy. He's just a God of mercy.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And so look at verse 21. As they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. That's amazing. This is given as a warning, even though he knows the betrayer is not going to take heed.
Hmm.
You remember Revelation 2, I believe it was the church at Thyatira. Jesus said that the woman Jezebel was there, and you're tolerating her blasphemous teaching and her immorality, and you know that whole thing. Remember what he said? I gave her time to repent.
Yes.
She what? Refused this.
Yes.
He knew she wasn't going to repent, but he gave her time anyway. He's just a God of mercy. Jesus shows that pretenders really enjoy the benefits of true believers. Now they don't appreciate it, but you think of it. Judas enjoyed the benefits of Matthew and James and John, all the other. He was right there with them. He enjoyed the benefits of Christ, delivering and finding and providing for them at times when they didn't know where it was coming from. Watching healings, he benefited with fellowshipping with Christ, walking with him, learning from him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it didn't affect him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now God knows that when God is blessing. The person that's not going to repent, he knows it's not going to affect him.
Mm.
But he sends his rain, right?
Yeah.
On the just, the unjust. Mm. He's good to all.
Amen.
And this is, again, just phenomenal when you look at the character of God. In verse 23, he answered, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me.
Mm.
And so there Judas was, enjoying the same blessing of this fellowship with Christ, this You know, he's there with this intimate setting, with this last meal, and it's not affecting him at all. Mm-hmm. And Christ knows that, but he lets him enjoy the benefit, what? Anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed something really extraordinary. Pretenders actually have an important role in God's plan. Mm-hmm. So you see, fake believers have their role too. Mm-hmm. None of us, you know, hopefully your heart isn't so callous that you don't have any concern. But the fact is that even the ones that don't come to Christ, that won't obey Him, God has, in his infinite wisdom, He already knows that they are going to play a part. Judas was born for this role, right? God says that I have raised Pharaoh up for this very purpose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, y'all remember many times in the past we looked at Proverbs 16:4. God says that everyone is created with God for God's purpose, mm-hmm. even the wicked. Mm-hmm. And this is just for us to be at peace about the fact that pretenders, even in the body, pretenders that attach themselves to the body of Christ, in the visible body of Christ, play a role. We have to be as gracious as God is in warning those who we learn are pretenders. So, first of all, you've got God's warning. Secondly, you see what I call, this is the way a false believer assesses themselves. Look at verse 25. This is amazing. Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" Mm-hmm. Now he already knows it. And I'm going to show you how callous mm-hmm. and cunning this is for him to ask this rhetorical question that he already knows the answer to, as if Jesus doesn't know. I can be coy. You know, I've got nowhere on this spot. I've been stealing from this dude for 3 years, and he ain't caught up with me yet. You see? And that's the problem. Sin is it thinks it's so clever. Did you ever notice that around people?
Oh, yeah.
That you know, they're trying to gang you with stuff you used to do. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at it thinking, I mean, what Christians always, we lose our minds, so we don't have any discernment. I see what you're doing. And look at them. An amazing thing for you young people is when our children do it, you look at them and think, I used to do that. You're sitting there lying to my face. I used to do the same thing, you know?
Amen.
But that's in us. That's in us to think that when we're in sin, we're slick. Nobody can really see what I'm doing here. That's the deception of sin.
Amen.
And so here he is. What I call this pretender's self-assessment. Now, this is what makes this so ridiculous. Now, Judas has already gone to set the plan in motion. Okay, look at verse 14. See verse 14? Everybody got Matthew 26:14? Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief. Now, this is before they have the meal. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
The scene we're looking at happens after this. One of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Mm-hmm. This has already happened before Jesus calls him out. This has already happened before he, sitting right in the group, says, "One of you going to betray me?" Judas has already, he's already set the plan in motion, and then he has the audacity to say, "Lord, Rabbi, is it me?"
Yeah.
You see how
Amen.
Foolish
yeah.
sin is.
Uh-huh.
Foolish sin. I already know I'm in it.
Yeah.
And I'll look you in your face and lie. And that's what sin does. And you know, because you even as a believer, you've been just that deceived yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so these warnings are for our good. his conscience, he's not even convicted. His conscience is cold. It's it's black. It's dull. It's hardened. He's not even convicted when Jesus is calling him out. He's already started doing it, and he won't stop because he's the 30 money. You see, he's already got the money. I got to do this thing, man. I committed to it. I'm in it now. Now, I already love money. I've been stealing it all along. He already proved he was in it for the money from the beginning, right? Bible said he was a thief. And all he's doing is living out what he is. All right? And so his conscience isn't even affected. He has no desire to change. He has absolutely no desire, no plan to change. No, he could care less about being like these other guys. As long as I can fake it and get the money, I'm good.
Amen. Amen.
And then this is sad. This is a tragic. This is the tragic condition, though, of a pretender.
Amen.
Because all pretenders are in it for something. Okay. Even when his sin is brought into the light, Judas proves that he loved darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He had an opportunity to come to the light, but isn't that what John says? The light came into the world, but the world loved darkness more than than light. Judas proves that he loves money more than Christ. Demas, y'all remember we looked at Demas?
Amen.
The Bible says that Demas loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
Demas proved that he loved the world more than Christ. We looked at Hymenaeus and Philetus. They loved false teaching.
Mm-hmm.
They loved false teaching more than Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is serious. You see, you can be so deceived that you think you love the word of God, but it's false. You love error more than Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay? And you use the Bible to support your error.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
You see, that's how it is. That's what it is. And we say it all around us. You got to love Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? Else you'll find yourself being a pretender. This is serious.
Serious.
And then finally we look at the pretender's destiny. Can you go to chapter 27? Verses 3, 4, and 5. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to that." That's on you. We got what we want. I hope you got what you want.
Well,
see to that. You said, don't come to us thinking that we're going to clear your conscience. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. Now, y'all remember last week we looked at Hebrews 3:12. It said, take care, brothers, that there not be found among you any but an evil, unbelieving heart that will lead to falling away from God. Take care. Be very careful. We looked at Hebrews 6 that talked about those who've been enlightened and tasted of the Spirit and the good things of God and all of these wonderful blessings that come with you being around believers. Once you have fallen away, it's what? Impossible for you to be brought back to repentance. These warnings warn pretenders, false believers, about, as we talked, this is a case where you fall down and you cannot get up. Okay. This is a case where falling away means that you are away forever. Okay? It's phonetically I spelled the Greek word out there for you, parapito. It means actually to commit apostasy. To go away from Christ. Okay? And in this case, what you see is there's no repentance with Judas when he has every opportunity to do so. When there is no repentance, guilt drives a contender to a self-destructive life.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it all around you.
Yes.
Fake Christians who are alcoholics. Fake Christians who are drug addicts. Fake Christians, and they got this whole... They come up with these politically correct terms. They got this whole terminology now calling them somebody a sex addict. What is that?
Hmm.
You know, that's a fornicator. That's people don't like to use biblical terms. You know, that's an adulterer. Well, you know, I had an affair. What is that? You see, biblical terms put the weight. It's graphic, right? And so when you find a pretender that has guilt written all over them, they got this secret lifestyle going on, because you gotta try to deal with that guilt that's in you. And here you got Judas. He tried to go and confess to people. You notice he didn't confess to God. He tried to go and confess to people, and you need to think about that, by the way. This whole confessional system that's set up, if you think that that's getting people's consciences clear, you need to look at what happened here. He went to confess to people. That didn't straighten it out.
Amen.
Okay? Now once you confess to God and if there are people involved, that's different. But you don't go to people only expecting to get to conscience and everything cleared up. If you're not right with God first, you can't get right with people. Alright? And so it drove him to self-destruction. And so here you have a case of where a man that would not repent, guilt drove him to suicide. And so here's the thing. Don't you buy into this theology of purgatory and that whole philosophy? It's given to man to die what?
One
time. And after that what?
The judgment.
You know, there ain't no praying for the dead and hoping that they can. That's you don't find that in the Bible. Judas was condemned to hell forever.
Mm-hmm.
He had his opportunity when he was alive. You remember with Lazarus and the rich man?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Lazarus died and went on to Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
The rich man opened up his eyes. What?
Yeah.
In hell. And wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
But what God said to him, you had your chance. Man. When you were alive, you lived well. Lazarus lived poorly and suffered. Now he is eternally doing well, and you will suffer forever.
Yes.
Given you die one time. Now, children, listen to me. This is the falling down you don't get up from.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get it right. There's no second and third chance when you walk away from God and you are condemned. Don't play with it. Don't play with it, okay? When you sent God, and by His grace, giving you an opportunity to repent, do it.
Amen.
Do it. Don't assume you'll get another opportunity. Judas, this is phenomenal. He's got the Master, he's got the Savior right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
But he loved money more than Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Money sent him to hell.
Yeah.
None of that. He wasn't even satisfied with the money. You know, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got the money and his conscience was so messed up he couldn't even enjoy it.
Amen.
And that's what you see all around us. All these wealthy people, they can't enjoy their wealth because of the way they got it. The guilt is all over them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's all around us. My brother, my sister, thank God for the peace and joy you got with your little $1,000.
Well.
Or whatever. $500, $25, whatever it is. Just thank God that it came with you. You know, the Bible says, I'd rather have my little bit with peace. The little corner with peace than in a mansion.
Yeah.
Telling you, this is misery here. That's eternal misery. So, all right, that's falling away with no repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be clear about that. But there's another situation that I likewise wanted to bring some clear understanding to among us. So could you go back to Matthew 26? And this is what I call falling away with repentance. I see a very similar pattern here. We start out with God's warning. Start with verse 30. And then we'll look at this paragraph down to verse 35. Now, here's a setting. Jesus warns the 11 that they are all going to fall away. Now, remember this. Judas is gone. Okay, he left to go finish the betrayal. So he's talking to the 11 now. You got verse 30?
Yes.
Amen. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." All right?
Amen.
So, falling away. Here we have now Jesus talking to true believers. We've already seen the warning to pretenders. You're going to fall away, and it's going to be impossible for you to ever be brought back to repentance again. But that's the reason I want you to see there's another falling away, or the possibility of it, when it comes to a believer. And so Jesus said, this is a different word. Remember, parapito, I mean, was it, that we looked at before? That's the committing apostasy. This word, scandalizo, you know what it looks like. You already know it already, right? What does it sound like?
Scandal,
okay? And that's the whole idea, is that this means that somebody causes you to stumble, to trip up. Somebody puts a scandal in front of you, and you just can't handle that scandal. It affects you, right? You look at it, and just I'm not ready for this. And so I'd rather go around it. I'd rather avoid it, okay? And so that's the whole idea here. Jesus is saying that you're going to be scandalized because of me. And because you're not ready for that scandal, you're going to fall away from me. You can't handle the scandal. You can't handle being associated with me, because the world says that who's associated with this from the world's perspective? Jesus was a pretender. He was a deceiver, right? He was operating under Satan's power. And so, I mean, this is even the religious perspective. So anybody associated with him, that was a scandal. It's just like Mary when she was pregnant. You know, they couldn't fathom it because it can't happen. You were lying, Mary. You see, you caught up in a scandal here. So people would shy away from that because a miracle can't possibly happen with somebody as irrelevant as this woman. Right? So, anyway, he's saying here that you're going to fall away. The disciples would soon see that Jesus, they would perceive that Jesus is a scandal with whom I don't want to associate myself. That's the point. And then you notice that he warns them, and then he gives them biblical proof that it's going to happen, and they still don't take heed to it. Look at verse 31. Jesus said to them, "You'll fall away from me this night." Then you notice that second sentence: "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will fall away." Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, though you may not know it, and if you got a reference Bible, you can see it. That's quoted from Zechariah, right? Mm-hmm. Zechariah 13. Mm-hmm. And so, what Jesus has done, he brought biblical, prophetic, scriptural proof to say, what I'm telling you, God has already said. You already know the Old Testament. You ought to know that what I'm saying is true. Mm-hmm. It was already prophesied, I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Jesus said, that applies to me and what?
and you.
Amen.
God told you that long before I was born. Okay? Or you know, back before I was incarnate. You know, in this sense, obviously, unfortunately, I got a guy at the gym who said the same thing. Well, God is really over Jesus because Jesus was born. And so I don't want you to start thinking that way when I say that God prophesied it before he was born. I mean, Jesus was there when the prophecy was made himself.
Amen.
It was just before he was incarnate. Okay.
Amen.
And so he could relate that to them. This was prophesied before you came to know me in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm telling you, this is the fulfillment of this
mm-hmm.
prophecy. Okay. So he brings scriptural proof, and they still don't believe him.
Yeah.
They don't believe Jesus. They don't believe the Bible. Now, these are believers.
Mm. Mm.
You say, it never happened to me. Don't say that. That's what
Amen.
They say.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Be really careful because you find yourself you're doing the same thing they're doing.
Yeah.
That don't happen to me. I'm for real. I'm this and I'm that. That's the day. That was, and we'll get to this in just a minute. That was exactly what they thought.
Amen.
Right? And so he's warned them. But then look at this. It's so wonderful. Jesus gives them hope. He's already told them that they're going to fall. You're going to leave me. You're going to desert me. That's all right. You know, the Father's going to be with me. You're going to desert me. But I want you to know there's still hope for you. This is wonderful.
Amen.
This is absolutely wonderful. You see verse 32. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. That's amazing. You're going to leave me. You're going to desert me. But I'll get you. I'll come get you. And we're going to be together. I'm going to leave. Matter of fact, I'm going to lead the way for you. This is hope. This is the God of hope. You remember in Luke 22, Jesus, he's talking to Peter right there about what's going to happen. He says, Simon, Satan has demanded to have him. And what he wants to do is he wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to have his way with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Simon, I've already prayed for
you. Yes,
that your faith will not fail you.
Yes.
And when you have turned again, then I mean, this is hope.
Yeah.
You're going to fall down. You're going to fall away.
Mm-hmm.
Simon, it's going to happen. But then you're going to turn again, and you're actually going to have to come and help your brother. You're going to fall worse than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take the lowest one and make you the one to strengthen and help everybody else.
Amen.
You need to think about this.
Yeah.
God's ways are not man's ways.
Amen.
The ones that he chooses to encourage and strengthen is not the way you would do.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory.
You see, you would take one of God's children and you wouldn't let him scrape the veil the way he does.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't let him get as low as he does. But you know, your mind, you don't have God's mind.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what it takes to make him a faithful disciple.
Uh-huh.
You don't know the lessons that are learned in the battle.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put anybody else there, and you wouldn't go there if it was up to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason you're not the master.
Amen.
Right? And so, look, this is wonderful.
Amen.
That God tells you you're gonna be so discouraged with yourself, but there's hope for you.
Yeah.
See, because you're not you're not lost.
Yes.
You're not lost.
Amen.
You know how to get back up again.
Yeah.
And so,
bless the Lord.
But now look at this. You saw Judas do his self-assessment. Now notice Peter, and here's the irony of it. Unfortunately, sometimes we act like we pretend this too. Because there ain't a whole lot of difference between Peter's assessment and the other 11 of themselves and Judas. So look at verse 33. We already read it, but look at it again. Peter answered him, though they all may fall away, from you, I will never fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And then 35, Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.
And all the disciples said the same thing. You got that? And so they're all overconfident about themselves. They're just beside themselves in how faithful they are. They're just beside themselves with how committed they are to it. I'm committed to this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter. Jesus, you have assessed, you have read me wrong.
Now, we can kind of laugh at that.
Now, this is the master. This, he's been your teacher for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Now you come to this point and you say, yeah, come on. you look at it, it's like, Jesus, you've gone too far.
Uh-huh.
You may be right about most things.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what they're saying, right? But you ain't right about this thing.
Yeah.
Now you would never say that,
mm-hmm.
would you? I'm telling you, overconfidence is a dangerous thing.
Yes, it is.
Overconfidence is a dangerous thing. I'm not talking about unbelievers now. I'm talking about believers, right? We're talking about true believers doing a right assessment of themselves. Peter's failure was more blatant than the other 10. Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Who is he talking to? Peter is the one that's going to blatantly, openly, publicly deny.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, you're the one who are so blatantly over confident about
mm-hmm.
yourself, you're the one that's going to hit the lowest
mm-hmm.
part.
Mm-hmm.
Your expectations. And so, the other thing I would ask you to notice is they all, I try to put this thing together in my head. They all had so little confidence in what Christ had to say. So little confidence in what the scriptures had to say. But they had all kinds of confidence in what they felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you think of this. You say, well, I'm not like that. Are you? Have you read what the scripture says and say, yeah, but I ain't ready for that, right now. You have put yourself in a position of judging the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right? When you say, I know what that says, and when you put the word what? But that's where you wind up, right there. That's what right?
Amen.
Jesus says, Peter, rest of y'all, this. And they said, yeah, but you may say that, Jesus, but that's not happening with me. And all of us, whenever you start making exceptions for what God has said, you put yourself in the same position of putting more confidence
mm-hmm.
in yourself
mm-hmm.
than you do in what God has to say to you. That's arrogance. That's what? Pride. The Bible says what? Pride
mm-hmm.
goes before what? Destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. There ain't no way you're going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
When the moment you decide, yeah, but you're headed for a fall.
Yeah.
No matter how you fight it. Doesn't matter how good it looks. Right? You can't outthink God. You can't be wiser than God. You can't, it can't happen. He is what? He is omniscient.
Yeah,
he knows what? Everything about everybody, everywhere, all the time.
Yeah.
So how would you say, yeah, but this is serious?
Yes, it is.
I'm not just talking about Peter now.
Amen.
Let everyone take care. When you think you stand,
what? Let you
walk. Yes, sir.
That's the very thing that Peter didn't do. He thought he was standing, and he thought he was good. But he was headed for fall. And then Paul says, be careful not to think more highly.
Yeah.
What? Of yourself than you are. And the brothers, in each of these cases, and sisters, in each of these cases, he's writing to Christians. You good?
Yeah.
He's writing to Christians that have to say, take heed when you think you're all good. You think everything's fine. You just don't need, you don't need God getting into this area of your business right now. Take heed, because you're setting yourself up for fall. You have assessed yourself and the situation wrongly. And then finally you see what I call the believer's destiny, who has chosen to fall away. Can you go to Matthew 26? Look at verses 74 and 75. This is after Christ has been arrested, and this is the very scenario that he explained to the disciples. Has come about now, and we find Peter, after he's been confronted twice already, and this is the third time that he's been confronted and confronted about being a follower of Christ, right? He's denied it twice. Then you come to verse 74. It says, then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. That's the same Peter that says, even if I have to, what? Die, I will, what? Never deny you. Brother, sister, be very careful using the word never. And I'm not, I'm just saying, oh, we're going to give an account of what?
Every word.
Yes. Just be careful when you say never or always. I mean, when it refers to you. You can say that about God. But just be careful in overestimating you. And speaking of never and always.
Okay.
And so here we find him. He began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the cock crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, here's something. I'm going to try to wrap this up now. You know where the other ten are? They're out hiding. Okay. Now, Peter tried to keep his commitment. At least he wanted to blend in with the crowd. He wanted to kind of see what was going on with Jesus. They want folks to know really who he was. Brother, sister, there's a message there. You can't hide. You can't just mix in with the crowd and think that folks don't know who you are. Right? Your life. You can't go try to put lampshade on yourself. And they just gonna blend in. They found him out. Now the other ten are hiding. But Peter just blatantly, he's the one that blatantly and publicly denies that he ever knew him. Now this is a fall. You see, he didn't say I used to be with him. Right? Didn't you say, I used to hang with him? I knew you, Brian. You're right, I did. Okay, all right. You got me. I used to be with him. Didn't he say that? No. Peter said, oh, hold up. I don't even know who you're talking about. This is low.
Amen.
This is my Lord. And my, yeah. I say, he's my Lord and my Savior. You challenge me, and I say, I don't even know who he is. He has been brought low. The scandal has brought him. He tripped. That's what it means. It means to stumble. He stumbled because he wasn't ready.
to handle the life of a true believer. And he didn't listen to his master when he said, you're going to fall away because you're not ready. You think you're ready, and you're not. And you're going to fall on your face right in front of everybody. Because you went out there too soon. This is serious. You have overestimated your readiness. See? Believers have to give a right assessment. We have to let the Spirit of God examine us. And when he tells us where we are, we have to say, amen.
Amen.
I may not like what you said, but amen.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Guilt and conviction come upon Peter immediately after his sin, and that leads to true repentance. He went out and he wept bitterly. And thank God we have Luke 22. What did Jesus say? Peter, if Satan wants to do you some harm, but I already prayed for it.
Uh-huh.
Thank God the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Glory. Yes.
That's our victory. That's our hope. Right?
Yeah.
I know I've run a little long, but I got to show you something real quick as we close. I try to wrap up. Okay. Can you find 2 Corinthians? This is very, very important. If you haven't seen this before, this is extremely important when it comes down to knowing what true repentance is, right? You got 2 Corinthians?
Yeah.
I didn't get it written down for you, but make note of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10.
Amen.
As it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us. Verse 10. For godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. You got right there Judas and Peter. Peter had godly grief.
Mm-hmm.
It led him to repentance. Judas had worldly grief and it led him to death. Just because you get caught and you have remorse does not mean that you have repented. Okay? Make note of these verses. Apply it to your own life. God is so merciful because this very Peter that fell so low is the one that God spares his life first and foremost, right? Forgives him, restores him, establishes him. And you know the story. And here, after the resurrection, Jesus goes and finds Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's, you know, all of them, here's the irony of it, all of them have basically just said, well, we might as well go back to our old profession.
Mm-hmm.
I know, we kind of had big hopes that this thing was going to be something, but didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
So they all, right, went back to that. Look how merciful God is.
Yes,
he knows that. He came and found them.
Mm-hmm.
What you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fishing?
Uh-huh.
Why don't you try? You know what? Yeah. Why don't you try this?
Yes.
There's only one person that can tell us that. Yeah. And we do what he's saying, and we get what? Fish.
Yeah.
I got that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now Peter can't wait to get to him. Can't wait to get to him. I've been forgiven, right? And Jesus says, Peter, see you love me. Lord. I ain't bragging no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I am?
Mm.
I ain't bragging about that no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
I ain't out here, I ain't putting myself out there talking about what I'm going to do. Lord, you know it. You know it.
Mm.
Right? Feed the dog. You ready now. Go and feed the sheep. This is Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to conclude. I had a few thoughts here I want to do at the end. Kind of track me on this. I thought through the difference between Judas and Peter. All right. Now, for both of them, they both sinned. Okay.
They both sinned. That was the issue. Christ says, "You go." He told one group, he told one, "You're going to betray me." The other one, "You're going to fall away." They both sinned, right? Now, if you think about the issue, Judas's motivation was what? Money. Peter's sin was motivated out of fear. Okay? Got to follow this. Judas's sin was premeditated. Mm-hmm. He put that scheme together. He plotted it, he planned it, and worked it out. Peter's sin was spontaneous. He overestimated himself in the spur of the moment, in the circumstance that he was in. He succumbed to fear. It wasn't premeditated. It wasn't planned. He just overestimated himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't trust what Christ was telling him about himself.
Amen.
Okay. What's the response? The response is that Judas felt sorry. But Peter repented.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
The end result, Judas committed suicide. Mm-hmm. Peter was restored.
Amen.
That's what I want you to get. Both fell away. One died. One was restored.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the grace of God being on your life. It's all about God, you actually being a child of God.
Yes.
It's all about knowing how to receive the grace to begin with. You receive saving grace. You receive keeping grace. You know that this grace will help me persevere even when I fall.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes.
I can get up,
mm-hmm,
and I can go on. Why? Because of grace.
Yes.
Because God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
God is faithful.
Yes, he
is faithful.
So then, my brother, my sister, do you see yourself in any of these scenarios with these disciples? As a true believer, you cannot be like Judas. Listen to me. You cannot be like Judas, so you don't need to. If you're true, but now you need to make sure that you're not like Judas. You understand what I'm saying? If you are true, you are not, but you need to make sure that you are not. Second Peter said you need to make your calling what? An election sure.
Uh-huh.
I can't do that. You got to do that. Mm-hmm. Right? Paul, writing to the Corinthians, examine yourself.
Amen.
And see if you are in the faith. Unless you're afraid you'll fail the test. You know what he says?
Amen.
And if you're the real deal, why do you want to be afraid to examine?
Yeah.
Test yourself. Hold that mirror up there in front of you. Is that the way I am?
Mm-hmm.
Don't start making exceptions.
Uh-huh.
Lord, do I see myself when I read the Bible? And would you say what disciples are like?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
But you can, and you might find yourself like Peter. That's the reason I spent this time with you. You might find yourself like the other 10 disciples. You might find yourself a little bit overconfident about your commitment. A little bit overconfident about what you're ready to do for the Lord. A little bit overconfident about your courage and about what you'll do no matter what. A little bit more, you might find yourself thinking a little bit more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And then you might be sitting here this morning just kind of thinking, well, that can never happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you might be like Peter in that you've already failed. You just haven't told anybody. You know a situation where you just flat out flunked. You failed what you knew Christ was calling you to do. And it's just been keeping you way down. I believe that Christ would have me stand here as a representative for him today and say to you, my brother, my sister, if you're in that place right now, the same Christ that forgave Peter will forgive you. The same Christ that said he prayed for Peter, he's praying for you.
Yeah.
The same Christ that found Peter. He knows where you are. You don't need to keep trying to hide. Just be real with him. He'll restore you. He'll heal. He'll restore you. He'll establish you. And you'll be all the better for it. You'll be all the better for it. He'll show you how to take that failure and turn it into good. You can be forgiven. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be restored. You can be established. You can be effective. You can be faithful again. But you, like Peter, must repent. And you must trust Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, what? And forever. And if you're not a Christian, you can be forgiven too. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be saved. And you can be established. But you must repent, and you must believe too. Jesus is the same for you as he was in the first century. He's the same. And my friend, he's right here, right now, ready to save you. But you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to just not listen to me give you these warnings and show you and talk to you about these truths. You're going to have to take it upon yourself to believe and trust Christ. Father, I thank you for this time that we have together.
Yeah.
And I thank you for the patience and the grace of your people as we have worked through this very serious matter together. Now, Lord, would you help us all to make our calling and election sure, and then help us all to be honest and real with you, so that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. May your will be done among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's bow together for a few minutes.